I'm speaking with Evgenia Kara-Murza. She's the wife of Russian opposition leader Vladimir Kara-Murza, who currently is in prison facing charges of treason, having spoken out about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, you speak on behalf of your husband. Perhaps you can just start by telling us a little bit about his remarkable bravery, really, in standing up to the Putin regime.
His remarkable bravery is nothing new to me or people who know him. He's been fighting the Putin regime since Vladimir Putin came to power. He was twice poisoned in 2015 and 2017. And now he's in prison, facing up to 24 years of strict regime for denouncing the war in Ukraine, for organizing an event in support of political prisoners at Moscow Sakharov Center in October 2021, and for making three public speeches.
You've talked there about attacks on your husband, and yet he's gone back to Russia, which is a phenomenally brave thing to do. How do you feel about that?
Vladimir is a fighter. He's a warrior. And he's a true patriot. The Russian regime has painted the perfect portrait of a Russian patriot by declaring him a foreign agent and accusing him of spreading fake news about the use of Russian armed forces, basically for denouncing the war in Ukraine and for supporting political prisoners. I could not be prouder of my husband. I know what he's fighting for, that he's prepared to risk a lot to continue this fight and to bring down the regime in Russia and to bring change to our country.
You mentioned Sakharov briefly in your initial answer. I'm just wondering how important figures like Andrei Sakharov and Boris Nemtsov are as inspirations to you and your husband.
That they are the figures that my husband deeply respects and admires. Vladimir, he's worked with Boris Nemtsov since the tender age of 18 years. He knew personally many Soviet dissidents. And I know how much he admires Father Georgi Edelstein. And I know that these people have all affected him in a way, have all influenced him in a way, because they showed him that the fight is possible in the direst of circumstances.
You won't be silenced. You've received the Vaclav Havel Award. You've spoken there. You're receiving awards as you go around the globe to keep speaking out in every forum you can, presumably.
I believe that publicity is my strongest weapon. Well, actually, it's my only weapon. I know how important it is for the regime to portray the Russian society as this big monolith that stands behind Putin and his policies. This has nothing to do with reality, because over 19,000 people have been arbitrarily detained across the country since February the 24th. There have been over 4,000 administrative cases and at least 355 criminal cases, including against my husband, initiated against all those people who chose to go out and protest or denounce the war in Ukraine or spread information about what is actually happening in Ukraine, what is actually being done by the Russian army in Ukraine. And according to Memorial, Russia's most respected human rights group, the number of political prisoners in the Russian Federation reached 500. And I know that these people need a voice. And my husband has been the voice of political prisoners in the Russian Federation for many years. And now that he's in prison and he's become a political prisoner himself, of course I have to stand up and continue his work.
How corrupt is the Russian government, in your view?
It's 100% corrupt. These people have been stealing and stealing and stealing from Russian taxpayers for over two decades. We need to realize that the full-blown war of aggression is the result of over two decades of impunity that this regime has enjoyed while violating the rights of Russian citizens and carrying out other military campaigns that I've already mentioned. The war in Chechnya, the invasion of Georgia, the annexation of Crimea, the bombing of Syria. So in Putin's warped mind, if he can annex Crimea, Why can't he go and annex the rest of Ukraine?
How low would you say his support is?
But in the absence of free media, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of association, and all other freedoms that the Russian population has been deprived of, it is really very hard to correctly assess the state of the Russian civil society. But I can only say that the numbers of protesters, of those who have been arbitrarily detained, I think point to millions of people who are against the war but are afraid to speak out. Those results of opinion polls that have been showing overwhelming support for Putin and his war have been carried out in a near-totalitarian state by state-controlled pollsters. And this is why I not only believe, but I'm absolutely 100% sure that these results of opinion polls cannot be taken as reliable.
Do you feel that the Kremlin and Putin are concerned by growing discontent, particularly amongst a younger generation throughout Russia?
Absolutely. Hundreds of thousands of Russians were forced to leave the country fearing persecution. This is why the regime is using mass repression, torture, and punitive psychiatry to silence those who protest inside the country, because the regime is very much afraid of its own people.
I'd be interested in your views on the role of the Russian media, particularly since the invasion of Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin knew what he was doing when he came to power. He's a KGB officer, and the only thing a KGB officer knows how to build is a gulag. So he began his rule by closing down one independent TV channel after another. By 2003, there were no major independent TV channels available to the majority of the Russian population that still relies on TV as the main source of information. I mean, in bigger cities, you have access to internet. You leave bigger cities, you go deeper into the regions, there is no internet. So TV is the main source of information for these people. By 2003, Putin created a vacuum, filled it with propaganda, sat back and waited for it to take root. And of course, over 19 years, this message sank in. The same message, that same narrative, Russia is this great country surrounded by enemies. Everyone out there wants to see Russia on its knees. Everyone out there hates us. And that's 19 years of propaganda of hearing the same message again and again. Since February the 24th, the independent media space in Russia has been basically purged. A countless number of journalists were forced to leave the country. While all media, social media platforms have been blocked, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those people living in bigger cities who have access to internet, they are trying to get access to independent, objective information. They're installing these VPN services to circumvent the blockade. But I do believe that providing the Russian population with independent media is one huge factor in bringing closer the downfall of the regime. The second major factor, I think, that would bring closer to downfall of the Putin regime, sanctions. Sanctions are extremely important and they're effective. And again, the Russian propaganda wants the West to believe that those economic sanctions are not efficient, they're not effective. They're not crippling Russia's economy. It is not true. The Russian statistic agencies have stopped publishing data pertaining to different industry sectors. Shows that they actually have something to hide. Mm-hmm. What would they be hiding if not the effect of these sanctions on Russia's economy? And so these sanctions should continue and they should become stronger, because this will make it costlier for the regime to continue the war, to continue warmonging. And the third crucial factor, I think, that would bring forward the downfall of the regime is support and solidarity with that part of the Russian civil society that continues opposing the regime, both inside the country and outside. they need support and solidarity of the Western democratic world.
Are there particular laws being passed by the Russian parliament, the Duma, that you feel are particularly repressive?
Only 9 days after the full-scale invasion of Ukraine had broken out, the so-called Russian parliament adopted new legislation on dissemination of fake news about the use of Russian armed forces in Ukraine. So basically, anyone who says anything against the war can get a prison sentence. And of course, the legislation on foreign agents is being widely used against human rights activists, against journalists, against all those voices who refuse to be intimidated and continue speaking out. There's also legislation on extremist organizations. There is also legislation on undesirable organizations.
Are there things that you feel the international community are not doing that they could be doing?
36 countries now have Magnitsky legislation. And these sanctions have proven to be very effective because not only they bring to accountability those human rights violators, they also send a very powerful signal to Russian civil society that the global democratic West sees a difference between a people and the regimes. I believe those countries who do have the Magnitsky legislation could coordinate their efforts in sanctioning these people. We've seen the situation when some people are sanctioned by the United States, but not by the European Union. Some are being sanctioned by the European, but not by Canada. There should be synchrony in applying Magnitsky sanctions because this way, these people would be prevented from moving their assets from one country to another. Well, the war against Ukraine began in 2014 when Crimea was annexed. Very strong, powerful sanctions should have been introduced back then. And then maybe we would have been able to avoid the full-scale invasion that brought about the deaths of tens of thousands of civilians and the displacement of millions of Ukrainians. I do believe that what we're seeing today in Ukraine is the result of over two decades of impunity. And I believe that this impunity led to him believing that he could get away with pretty much anything.
Does the issue of political prisoners really need to be at the top of the international agenda?
I believe that the issue of political repression should be at the top of the agenda, not only political repression in Russia. So many other countries, so many other regimes are using political repression against their own populations in very many cases, leaders in the West are either silent for different reasons. Sometimes it's because they are, I don't know, naive enough to believe that if they go ahead with that compromise and offer this compromise, maybe the regime will somehow change itself, which never happens. And other leaders in the West, honestly, they just act out of their own interests. And they see that that money stolen in Russia and used in the West to buy vineyards and yachts and estates props up Western economies as well. This is the sad state of affairs, and we should fight that as well. Because you see, for corruption to be exported, someone out there should be willing to import it.
Thank you very much indeed for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.